The commentators Ian Dale and Dahi Mackay with us this morning. Dahi, morning to you.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. I'm sure you're enjoying this. And Mr. Dale, good morning to you.
Good morning. Is this the Stephen Nolan self-flagellation hour?
Oh, I don't know what it is. What are your thoughts, Ian?
I think that the BBC should publish the rates that its people are paid, but I don't think it needs to be done for individuals.
I should have introduced you properly, by the way, for goodness sake. The LBC Drive Time key presenter, Ian Dale.
Well, that's very kind. And don't ask me what I'm paid, because, frankly, it's nobody's business apart from my partners and the taxman's and my bosses. Because I had this on my programme yesterday when we were talking about this. And people said, well, what do you get paid, Ian? Do you get paid more than Sheila Fogarty, who precedes me in the afternoons? That's just none of your business. And now you are in a different position because the BBC is a public broadcaster. But I would still argue that we don't have a right to know exactly what you as an individual earn. We do have a right to know the levels of pay that the BBC pays. And we have a right to know if there is a gender gap there, and there clearly is. So the only positive thing that's come out of the last 24 hours is that we see that there are many female presenters. I mean, Laura Koonsberg, for example. I mean, I don't actually like picking on individuals, but Laura Koonsberg, is she really only worth a third of Jeremy Vine? I don't think so. I think she has a much more difficult job than he does.
And do you think it's been fair to publish all of the presenters on that list or not?
No, I don't. You could make an argument for some of the top ones, but do we really need to know who's earning $150,000 a year? Now, a lot of your listeners will say, well, that's a hell of a lot of money. It's in the top tax bracket. Of course we need to know, but I just think there is something deeply unedifying about the fact that we all know this now, and it will also put wage inflation up. Because my bosses at LBC know exactly what you earn now, and if they want to poach you from the BBC, they know exactly what they're going to have to pay you to do so. So you can go into your next negotiation and say, well, I've obviously had LBC on the phone or whatever, and push your rate up if that's the way you want to negotiate, and nobody could blame you for doing so.
But that's the presumption that other people want you.
Yeah, but we live in a precarious industry, Stephen, as you well know. When you get most people in this industry, and your listeners probably don't know this, we're all on sort of, some people are on 6-month contracts, some people are on year-long contracts, or maybe 2 years, but it's very rare that it's longer than that. It may be for real star presenters, but most of us are on 1 or 2 year contracts. So there is no job security whatsoever, and I'm not asking people to sort of play their violins. I don't want any sympathy at all. But as you said before, we've fought to get where we are. I was a lot older than you the first time I was given a chance, and I was desperate to get into
radio. You used to do the paper review for...
I used to do the paper review with you
and my show, and now you're a network peak time, drive time presenter.
I was given a chance by the then managing editor of LBC. He saw something in me, which clearly others in the BBC and elsewhere had not done so. And like you, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet here, but I've won Radio Presenter of the Year twice, so I must be doing something right. And I use that in negotiations. And like you, I negotiate myself. I don't have an agent. And obviously you use that to your advantage. And there's nothing wrong. And you're absolutely right to say this is the real world we live in. Everybody else who's listening to this programme, if they negotiate their own rates of pay, they will do it in exactly the same way.
Dahi Mackay, you disagree. Tell us why.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, Stephen, your wages are paid for by me, by the taxpayer. And I don't think there should be any difference between the BBC and other public organisations, whether that be the Department of Health, the Department of Education. And regularly, we debate about how the top officials in those departments, what rate of pay they get. So I don't think we should differentiate. And I do think that the public want to have some influence, and I think they are having some influence, once they see what the top BBC brass are paid, both men and women. The public are now reacting, and in response to that, the BBC will now be changing its policy. The BBC have already said that they will be reducing the pay gap between men and women. So that transparency has indeed led to the start of a policy change within the BBC, and it should have been done long, long ago.
And in terms of publishing individual names, you support that?
I think so, yes, because that is the way it is with other departments locally. And I think in regard to yourself, to be fair, there's been a mixture. And my own opinion is that, you know, the BBC has made you the offer in terms of what you're paid. How you've handled over the past day, I don't think has been that fantastic. But at the end of the day, the policy decision rests with the BBC. I do think it does it needs to be compared with other public sector workers, other workers that are paid by us taxpayers. And indeed, I think it is fair that you do come in for criticism. You have come in for some, you know, some people have defended your position as well, and that you do do a good job. But it is important, I think, that those details are out there, because the wage is so high compared to most other people in society.
When you start comparing, Ian Dale, what some radio presenters earn compared to nurses, to taxi drivers, can it be justified?
Well, when you put it like that, it is difficult to justify it, I suppose. And you think of the firemen who walked into Grenfell Tower, and you think most of them are on £25,000 to £35,000 a year. Would you or I be able to do what they did? Would we accept that level of pay? We certainly wouldn't be able to do it. I do know that. Similarly with nurses. Nobody's going to argue that nurses or firefighters are overpaid. But each sector of the economy is unique to itself. There is a market. And people might think, well, some of these salaries are overblown and all the rest of it. And I'm sure most people listening to you this morning would have thought, my God, 400,000. Well, some people think, well, good luck to him. He's a brilliant broadcaster and he's done really well. Why should we want to criticise him for that? Because I'll tell you what, if we were in the United States of America, everyone would be saying that, well done. But in this country, we want to sort of go through this process of sort of being envious of people who earn a lot of money. But there will be people who listen to me, Stephen, and there will be people who listen to you. There will be people, I hate to tell you, that like my show more than yours and think that I should be paid more than you. Now, I am not paid anywhere near what you're paid, and I don't think I should be, because I think you, and I know you hate it when people praise you, but I got into this business because partly I looked up to people like you. I tried to learn from people like you.
That's incredibly flattering, but well, I don't deserve that, Ian. No, I don't deserve that.
You absolutely do, because I think you are one of the, if not the best talk radio presenters in the United
Kingdom. Well, you're starting to embarrass me now.
Radio Ulster is very, very lucky to still have you, because you do the Five Live show and you do that brilliantly. You could have just left Northern Ireland and gone on to do lots of other things where you could have got a lot more money. And I know why you haven't. It's because you value your local community. You value what you do in Northern Ireland. And long may it remain so, because you fulfil an important public role and you deserve to be paid well for it.
Well, that's very, very kind. But, Dahi, to save my embarrassment, and Ian's been very kind there, you'll probably want to redress that slightly and pile in a little bit of criticism to balance that up, Dahi.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, what you earn, Stephen, is grossly over the top, in my opinion, and the same goes for a lot of other, mainly men, at the top end of the list. I think it's the top five earners in the BBC are all male. And I think the real story, and we shouldn't forget this, is the gap between males and females. And we should remember as well that locally, all of our public organisations, all of our departments are subject to equality legislation, Section 75, except for I think it's three, and one of those is the BBC. So I think there's still an argument there that the BBC should be subject to equality legislation locally, and it shouldn't get a byball, because it has had a byball locally for nearly 20 years.
Listen,
the inequalities have not been addressed.
I'm going to say thank you to both of you and get some more calls on. Ian, all the very best. Good luck. Dahi, all the very best. Good luck. Thank you.